done, you're gonna be taking splinters out of your fat asses all night long because you got the fat ass. The only one chance you have no chance because you had a chance to be the run lickety split. But you can't run because you're the fat ass.
Well, Ric Flair, you know what? I'm not a normal looking athlete myself. You know what I'm talking about? I've been in the years of line. It's a privilege and an honor to walk out with Ole Anderson, Lex Luger, and the Omni tomorrow night.
I am not a happy camper. What is Bully Ray's motivation? No, I love him. I know he loves sugar. But I check my pocket. I don't have no donuts. I don't have no cheeseburger. I know you love sugar, but I ain't got none.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal. I'm the man.
Booking a match for the total package, Lex Luger and Super Brawl. Super Saturday, what is it? I don't even know what it's called. What is it called?
Super Brawl Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday?
You don't lose faith in winners. And Ric Flair day in and day out. Every day of his life. Just keep winning and winning and winning.
Ric Flair! New York City, Ric Flair! You're gonna find out what hard is all about!
I do exactly what I want to do. You say I'm insane. I say thank you very much.
Make a good intro.
I hate God.
Hit the deck. Yes. We love you, Scott Steiner.
Today, I've got the star and profile like never before.
You guys talk about being students of the game. I am the f***ing game, JR.
All right, folks, real quick, I just realized I hadn't hit record because it's just me tonight. I'm stupid. So it's pathetic with Scott and Rybrid. Just got their own little show right there. But anyway, I am going through the Ric Flair video right now. So sorry about that. About 14 minutes not recorded. No big deal. I'm not really worried about it. I'm not going to go back and play the video, but I'll go back and say a little bit of what I said. Sorry, Scott and Rybrid. It's going to sound a little bit, going to get a little repetitive on you here. But so far we've got Ric Flair at a restaurant called Paisans, I believe. And he's there. He has some sort of altercation with the assistant manager, according to this gentleman here at the bar. He was getting a little defensive, old Flair was. He called the guy Nicholas Dickhead that was in the video, which was very, very, very wrong to do. But as I just said before, I realized this, at least Flair is not blaming the waitress. He is giving the girl a $1,000 tip. That is a good thing right there. Like I say, that always helps when you're not blaming the waitress. Because like I said, a lot of people blame the waitress for anything that happens at their table, with anything that happens with their party, anything like that. So, and it's not her fault. But like I was just saying, I really hate seeing Flair like this. It's sad. I mean, Flair has been around since I was a kid back in the NWA days and all that stuff. And it's just, this isn't the Ric Flair I want to be watching. This isn't the Ric Flair I want to see. This isn't how I want to remember Ric Flair. He's just a crazy old man. He literally is just a crazy old man. And it's just, it's insane that we're having to deal with this. I mean, you know, I think last week me and Smark were talking about him when he, you know, was walking through a convention. Hey, Dolph Ziggler, you slept with my wife. Hey, hey, what the fuck? What is happening to this guy? I don't know, man. I can defend Flair a lot, but it's getting tougher. It's getting a lot tougher to defend this guy. About 40 seconds left, and sorry about not hitting record, everybody, but no big deal. I didn't say anything worth mentioning. Just that I'm Boxman, and this is Wrestling Outlet, and y'all are fucking awesome. That's really all I said. So here we go.
Man, I'm not going to do that because I'm on the car.
Okay, now Flair just called the guy a pussy, and a guy just told him, you want to go out in the parking lot? Because I'll fucking work you. I don't care. So now Flair is being threatened by another patron. How do you think Flair's going to react to that? He's going to say, sir, I'm sorry, you're right. I was completely wrong in this situation. I'm going to go ahead and leave now. No, no, no.
I need one of those little bar straws for this.
Oh, yeah. Do you know how many?
Just one.
Just one?
I'm not mad. I have no reason to be mad.
So, this guy's got a great story. He just fucking told Ric Flair he would kick his fucking ass. Of course, Ric Flair is a 70-some-year-old man. Now, this is, again, this is so sad. This is so sad to sit here and talk about this and even have to do any of this. But, yeah, this is not a good thing. We got Ric Flair in this restaurant being thrown out. He was thrown out. The restaurants made a statement. Flair also has made a statement. He does say he should have left. I'll go ahead and read this Wrestling Inc. article right here. It says, it's only Wednesday. This was yesterday, obviously. But the saga of Ric Flair and his not-so-excellent adventure at a Gainesville, Florida Paisano's stove oven pizza restaurant has continued to generate headlines. The story first came to light on Monday when Flair took to social media to complain about the establishment throwing him out. This was followed by accusations from a neighboring Paisano's manager that Flair was drunk and disorderly. Again, real quick, I'd said this before the recording started. He seemed like he had had a few, but didn't seem inebriated. Didn't seem like he'd have to be dragged out of there. You didn't have to pour him into the car or anything. Wasn't slurring any more than his dentures already make him do. So I don't know. I mean, he's been drinking a long time. The guy might be able to hold his liquor way better than we think, but I don't know. They were looking at him. I'm not. I'm just going by a video. But I don't see him as being that bad. I mean, he is calling the guy Nicholas Dickhead. But then again, he's being threatened by patrons of the bar. We just talked about the footage that was released. The story continued to evolve yesterday when Flair gave his account to the Gainesville Sun. And even suggested he could pursue legal action against Paisano's. Oh, Jesus, Flair, don't do this. Don't do this. Flair's tone was a little softer later on Wednesday, however, when he was contacted by the MJ Morning Show for his account of the situation. Flair provided additional details that he hadn't included earlier, claiming his stepdaughter left the place due to feeling scared because of how strong the Paisano's staff came across. He again confirmed that an altercation with a kitchen worker escalated his behavior. So there you go. There's where I was mentioning the kitchen thing. He said, and I quote, when I'm put in an area where I'm uncomfortable, I got upset, Flair said. It caught me off guard because we were having a wonderful time. Despite that, Flair did admit that he shouldn't, that he should have departed from the restaurant before losing his cool. Flair also noted, even after everything that happened, he would later order food from Paisano's that night, which he said was delivered to him by Uber Eats around 6 p.m. In a stark contrast from his tone earlier in the day, Flair praised the restaurant, noting they have great food. So he actually left after this, went back and ordered more food, according to Ric Flair. So anyway, yeah, this is just getting embarrassing at this point. Like I said, just seeing this crazy old man running around, just acting like a goddamn crazy old fuddy-duddy. I mean, I guess some of it's to be expected, but it just makes me sad, folks. But, you know, it looks like they maybe have worked it out later in the afternoon. So, I don't know, or later in the evening. So, who knows? But there we go with that. So, let's get into something else, because that's depressing the shit out of me. So, also yesterday, TKO reported the first quarter 2024 results, and they're pretty good. You can go right to, actually, you can go to the WWE corporate and see the full PDF of it. But I'll give a few kind of highlights on this right here. So let's see. So the first thing it talks about here is it talks about when we all found out about this. So on September 12, 2023, Endeavor and WWE closed a transaction to combine UFC and WWE to form a new publicly listed company, TKO Group Holdings. Reported results presented in this earnings release prior to September 12, 2023, reflect only the UFC activity. So here we go. Revenue of $629.7 million. All right. Now, again, some of this is just UFC. Some of this is WWE and UFC combined. So $629.7 million combined. Net loss of $249.5 million. And an adjusted EBITDA, which I'm not going to lie, folks, I had to look that up. Earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. Amortization is putting when you roll it into a payment, like if you're like rolling your down payment into a car payment so you don't have to pay anything. You just roll it into the payment. If you have good credit, you can do stuff like that. I'm not usually allowed to do stuff like that. Put it that way. And that was the EBITDA was adjusted to $282.2 billion. Okay. So UFC itself held 11 events, including 5 with live audiences, that consistently delivered strong viewership and attendance and set several all-time records for gross revenue and their respective arenas. And in April, UFC 300 was one of the most successful and highest grossing events in UFC history, with a gate of 16.5 million and an attendance of 20,067 at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Now we get to WWE. WWE held 47 events, including 2 premium live events. Each WWE premium live event, Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber, delivered all-time records for gross revenue and viewership for the respective event. Another one. WWE entered into a long-term media rights agreement with Netflix for Raw beginning in January 2025. Subsequently, WWE entered into a $25 million domestic media rights agreement with NBC Universal for Raw to remain on USA Network for the fourth quarter. So they are going to remain on USA until they do the move to Netflix. $25 million to do that. Not bad. Not bad. Not bad for WWE there. In April, WrestleMania XL was held at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia over 2 consecutive nights in front of a combined 145,298 fans. Wow. WrestleMania XL was the highest grossing event in WWE history, increasing 78% as compared to the previous record set at WrestleMania 39. Prime Hydration, the exclusive official hydration drink partner of WWE, became the first partner to ever appear on the center of a WWE ring. So Logan Paul just raking in the dough, man. Just doing it, man. You can't blame him. I'm grabbing some more water here, folks. I'm sorry. Give me one sec here. I'm pouring out of a gallon jug into my cup, and I don't want to spill. Y'all can probably hear that. Hope no one had a pee, because now you really got to pee. All right, here we go. So, after that, we're going to this. Now, TKO reached an agreement to settle all claims asserted in both UFC antitrust lawsuits for an aggregate amount of $335 million. The settlement is payable in installments, so they financed it, and is anticipated to be deductible for tax purposes. So it's also tax deductible, folks. See how this works? See how this works? So they won't even have to pay taxes. I mean, you don't really have to pay taxes on losses anyway, but... All right. We don't have much more of this left, folks. A little bit more. So here's some kind of guidance and what they're looking at for the rest of the year. The company increased the target revenue to $2.61 billion. And they bumped it up to $2.685 billion. All right, so there you go. So they increased the adjusted EBITDA. They increased that from $1.185 billion to $1.205 billion, and they revised its target for free flow cash conversion to an excess of 40%. So they're also looking to free up cash by 40%. So could be a lot of good stuff going on. But yeah. So revenue for this for the companies increased 105%. Or $323 million up to $629.7 million. Wow. So the increase reflected an increase of $6.3 million at UFC and the $3.167 million contribution from WWE. So not too fucking shabby. Now the net loss was $249.5 million, a decrease of $337.4 million from the net income of $87 million to the prior. So, man, every company has losses, folks. Every single company has losses. But, all right, I think we've pretty much broke it down enough, kind of given enough. Not too much really to get into. I just always like going through those, seeing just how much money everybody makes here. But anyway, let's keep rolling here, folks. So, Talk is Jericho is going to finally move. The podcast hosted by Chris Jericho is finally going to be off of Sirius XM. Now, I got to tell you, folks, I know this may seem like, well, fucking AEW, you know, this fucking reject can't even keep his show on the station. Folks, I got to tell you, they're losing a lot of people. A lot of subscribers over there. They are losing a lot. I'm not sure how long Sirius XM is going to be around. Seriously, I mean, a lot of the shows, I mean, there's really, I mean, you can get the music anywhere. You can listen. There's so many more ways to listen now. You don't need satellite radio. You want to listen to the same thing over and over again in the same for one car ride? You can do it now. All you have to do is download it. So I'm not sure how long they're going to be around. But Jericho is moving to a place called Odyssey. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey Podcasts. So here we go. Odyssey Podcasts has partnered with AEW superstar and multiple world champion professional wrestler, rock singer, actor, and author Chris Jericho for sales and distribution of his weekly podcast, Talk is Jericho, as of May 1st, 2024. So he's already over there. Longtime listeners will know that the podcast is issued every Wednesday and Friday. It will now be available through the Odyssey app and all other podcast options. Chris Jericho said, I'm stoked to bring Talk is Jericho and our 10 years of excitement, entertainment, and electricity to Odyssey Podcast, Jericho said via the release. With Odyssey's reputation as being one of the hottest and fastest growing platforms in the podcasting biz, I know it's the perfect platform perfect forum to showcase the vision and variety that I've always had for Talk is Jericho. So there you go. He's going to be moving over there. Now, I got to be honest, I hadn't heard of this place, but I go over there and there's a lot of people over here, believe it or not. You got Joe Rogan over here. There's a David Duchovny has a podcast here. There's one with the First 48 has some of the A&E stuff has a podcast over here. There's some new podcasts. There's some radio stations on here you can get. There's a show called Women Talking About Murder. That's just awesome. A lot of murder shows on here, I'm not going to lie. But a lot of sports podcasts on here too, folks. I don't know many of these. Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. In the Huddle with Brian Baldinger. So there's that. Heat Check with Trista Crick. I've never heard of some of these shows, but then you go down and there's like CBS has a show on here, a podcast on here, CNN. So they are definitely coming up. So, and there's even some TV shows on here. I guess you can stream. No, these are podcasts on TV shows. Wow. So this seems pretty cool. Oh, I didn't know Dana Carvey and David Spade had a podcast. There we go. It's called Fly on the Wall, folks. It's on Odyssey. I might need to check that out. I kind of like both those guys. I might need to actually check those out. That sounds like it might be a good one. I'm going to have to take a listen to that. But there you go, folks. And, you know, I went over there and typed in wrestling, and there were definitely a few wrestling shows on here. Already, I mean, Art of Wrestling was on here. That podcast, Wrestling Soup, was over on here. Post Wrestling was on here. Let's see. I didn't even look for Jericho. Let's check out and see how Jericho's over here. Jericho, well, you type in his name, you don't find it. Oh, wait. In podcast, yep, he's right there. Talk is Jericho. So there you go. He's already over here, folks. Got shows already over. All his shows, all his episodes. Oh, yeah. All the episodes are here. So there you go. Jericho moving. And like I said, SiriusXM is not doing that well right now. So it's not the worst thing for him to maybe be jumping ship. He may see the writing on the wall with that place. So not the craziest thing for him to be doing. So, folks, let's talk about this one real quick. Y'all know who Dynamite Kid is, right? Dynamite Kid back in the day with Davey Boy Smith. We all remember them. Well, Dynamite Kid's nephew is actually going to be wrestling Saturday night for AEW. This Saturday, 5/11 in Vancouver, British Columbia, Saturday night, AEW Collision. Dynamite Kid Tommy Billington will be in the ring against FTR's Dax Harwood. So Dynamite Kid Tommy Billington is the nephew of the Dynamite Kid. So I thought that was kind of cool. I know Dynamite Kid doesn't have the best reputation in the world, but come on now. This is family down the road. This isn't like his kid or anything. So we can definitely, if you look at the picture of the two, you can see it. You can absolutely see it.
He definitely looks a little bit like his uncle. So it's definitely there. You definitely see it in the face, especially in the eyes. But that should be good. I actually might check that out just to check out, see how he is. I'll see what's going on Saturday night. I don't think I got anything going on, but, all right. So not really a lot to get into on that right there, folks, but, yeah, this is going to be, I mean, I was scrounging for news, folks, and wasn't planning on being alone, but here you go, folks. Here's a good one. So a lot of talk about the bloodline with Solo Sikoa coming and kind of taking over the bloodline. Tama Tonga making his debut. You've got Tama Loa making his debut, or Camacho, whatever you want to call him. And everyone's wondering who in the hell could be the next two. Who in the hell could be the next in the bloodline? Well, folks, there's two girls called the Tonga Twins. I don't see where they are in the relation of the bloodline, but that doesn't matter one little bit. But these girls are now free agents. They were at WOW, at Women of Wrestling. They were there. But they are now free agents. So Kona and Koaz, K-A-O-Z. Kona and Koaz, I'm going to say that. Kona and Koaz, also known as the Tonga Twins, have been teaming since 2021. And for the last 2 years, they've been working for WOW, Women of Wrestling. They have not wrestled for the promotion in 2024. And Kays took to her Twitter or X account and released a statement on behalf of the team and noted that they are free agents, saying, here we go. We will be speaking out soon, but for now we will leave it here. To all the women who are scared to speak up, we stand for you. You will no longer see us on WOW because we spoke up. You can't do this to good people who sacrifice their family. So evil. Mess with us, you mess with our kids and family, and that's personal. Wait on it. Tonga Twins are now free agents. The marathon continues. Tonga Twins is us. Fuck WOW. Hashtag fuck WOW. And no, I didn't make that part up. Kona added the following. To my kids, mommy, sorry. Time for my next run, my sis. Back in 2021, the Tonga Twins made it there. They were with AEW for a little bit on Dark. So they did show up there once, and that's been really about it. But, you know, folks, we're a lot of different people going over to there. I wouldn't hurt to have a couple more twins in that group. And some female twins could definitely shake up a group like that. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying keep the Tonga Twins in mind. Down the road, not right now, just saying, if they show up, you heard it here. You did, right here. Right here, you did. My daughter is very tired, not in a good mood. I don't know how much y'all can hear, but she is just walking up and down the hallway, crying. And crying and crying. So I needed some water, folks. All right. So let's move on from that. Now, me and Smark were talking about the whole Tony Khan angle last week. Going down, and Tony Khan, the rumor was he might be actually getting in the ring for a match. Luckily, holy fuck, luckily, I'm here to tell you, okay, he's not going to do it. According to him, he's turning this down. Another Wrestling Inc. article, folks. 2 weeks have passed since Tony Khan was on the receiving end of a brutal attack from the members of the All of the Elite.
And the AEW owner is still recovering from multiple head and neck injuries. Yeah, sure. As such, Khan is not expected to be at any AEW events for the foreseeable future, leaving Elite members the Young Bucks effectively in charge, thanks to their EVP status, allowing them to run amok and take out other members of AEW's brain trust, including former Elite member and EVP Kenny Omega. Naturally, things appear to be heading towards the Elite being confronted by others in AEW, and during an appearance on Cincy 360, Khan himself was asked if he could step in the ring against the Elite to get revenge. Alas, Khan made it clear that no one should be expecting that anytime soon. Thank God. I think everybody who has a podcast, even without a podcast, was in fear that this was going to happen. So this is what Tony Khan had to say. AEW is where the best wrestle, and we mean that. In this case, I'm not the best person to pay those people back, Khan said. There's a lot of things I'm good at behind the scenes, but somebody else is going to have to avenge what those guys did, not only to me, but to Kenny Omega. I'm sure there are more capable wrestlers than I am that can inflict some of the punishment on the Young Bucks and Jack Perry and Okada, the Elite. And after what happened to me last time, I don't think I'd be making a smart move trying that. We can all feel a little better now that Tony Khan has said he's not getting in the ring. I feel better knowing Tony Khan isn't going to be getting in that ring. Like I said, I think we were all in fear of that. Obviously, this little storyline's nowhere from over. But luckily, Tony Khan's just going to use other people to do his bidding and his dirty work, which kind of what most billionaires would do, is use other people to do their fucking dirty work. Why would they get their hands dirty? So it makes sense. I'm very happy because this would really, I mean, my God, this guy is like the anti-Vince, anti-WWE. If he gets in the ring, he's no better. He's the exact same. He's just a very thin, skinny Vince McMahon at that point, which no one wants to see. No one wanted to see Vince when he was actually skinny. No one wanted to see that. And thank God Tony has basically said it's not going to happen. That's like great, great news for a lot of people. So now on to Freddie Prinze Jr., folks. For some reason, we like talking about Freddie Prinze Jr. on this show. Now, we all know he was working on starting a wrestling promotion. We've talked about this a few times. He was on his podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, talking a little bit about it and revealing that one major media company has passed on the idea. And here's what we got to say. Here's what Freddie said. I got a text during the podcast last week with the bad news, Prinze said. I'm comfortable saying who the pass was this week. It was Warner Discovery. They were the first people I went to, and I should have recognized by the types of questions that it was going to be a no. Prinze referred to the idea for the promotion as his brainchild and said it can be difficult to maintain perspective when he is so passionate about the project. Warner Brothers Discovery isn't the only company Prinze has pitched to, with the former Scooby-Doo star stating that he was confident that another group was going to reject the idea as well. Without naming that brand, he said he felt as though the unnamed corporation had no interest in wrestling during the pitching process, however remains hopeful that the right partnership will come around. But he did say, I think one company is a definite yes, he continued. They've made multiple calls asking all kinds of questions from creative to financial. When they start talking money, that's when it's getting serious. So we can, you know, Freddie Prinze brainchild might actually come to fruition, folks.
Not quite sure why he's waiting on just getting a TV deal. Put it out there a little bit more. Get some, I don't know. I guess this is something, might be a lot of cinematic stuff. Who knows with Freddie Prinze Jr. But that's pretty good, though, that he's at least, I mean, not that he got rejected, but that he's at least, he thinks he might have one deal that is definitely coming through. Listen, it'd be great to have another wrestling company out there. That'd be awesome. You know, Freddie Prinze Jr. isn't just some actor who enjoys wrestling. I mean, he was a writer for WWE for many years. He was fired, then he was brought back, and then he was fired again, which WWE loves to do. But that's not a big deal. But yeah, I mean, he's not just some fly-by-night actor looking to jump into wrestling. I mean, this isn't fucking Jeremy Piven's trying to start a fucking company. You know, that's not what it is. But, so, you know, good luck to him. I wouldn't mind seeing it. I wouldn't mind seeing what he's got in mind. He says he's been working on this for, you know, a couple of years now. I think when we first started talking about it, he was thinking about it for 18 months and got to be almost probably a couple of, we've been talking about this for probably a good 18 months, just us. So I guess we'll see what happens. And we've got Jerry Lawler, folks. Jerry Lawler has is basically not working for WWE anymore. His deal has expired. He still does have the Legends deal. And he kind of opened up about it a little bit. Again, another Wrestling Inc. article. He did open up a little bit about what was going on. And here it is. Gives a little health update in there, too, as I'm reading. I'll get to that. He says, "My career has probably ended with WWE," Lawler said. And that's it's just one of those things that goes with me getting over all the stuff that happened with the stroke. And me just sitting behind a desk and doing commentary on a match was extremely difficult. And I'm sure it was difficult. He's even typing. It's the words are a little all over the place. I'm trying to read this as best I can, folks. He goes on to say, "I've had some health problems going back about 7 months now," Lawler said. "I had a stroke and spent some time getting over that. But I feel like now, it feels like a good time to get back out on the road again a bit. So that's why I'm starting off with this big event in Evansville this weekend. Day-to-day, physically, for me, is feeling good. Getting around my house, everything's fine and dandy, but it's just like the little things that take me longer to do some things than I used to. But as far as look and feel, I feel as good as I ever did." So that's great. You know, I'm sure it was tough for him to just sit there and kind of call matches behind the screens and not really be in the action, in the crowd, with the crowd behind him screaming and yelling. I'm sure he misses that. But, you know, Lawler has had more health issues than just the stroke. I mean, we all watched this man literally, or listened to this man have a heart attack live on air on Raw. Jesus Christ, Michael Cole had to stop a whole fucking heel run because of it. But I mean, it doesn't sound like he's that upset about it. I think he saw it coming. You know, WWE could just let him heal a little bit and then bring him on back. He's got the Legends contract still, so it's not like he's completely gone from the company. They could call on him to do a little bit here and a little bit there. And, you know, listen, he's not out there making a fucking fool of himself like fucking Ric Flair. So why the hell not? Why the hell not bring this guy on back on in? I mean, no reason not to, seriously, down the road. If he wants to. He might not want to. He might want to just go and travel a little bit and do a few things here and there with some Memphis shows and all that stuff. That might be perfect for him. But all right, folks. I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about Dynamite here.
And then I'm going to get the fuck out of here. I apologize for the short show. And it's even shorter because I forgot to hit record for the first 14 minutes. So this is going to be an extremely short show. What's up there, Cheese? Okay. He watched the new Roadhouse. And it was pretty good, even if I did have to take Donnie Darko seriously. You know, it wasn't that bad of a fucking movie. It really wasn't that bad. Like I said, if they wanted Conor McGregor to act any fucking different, they would have told him to act different. Now, if that Popeye fucking trailer I saw was real, which I think it might be, I'm really not happy about that shit. You don't fuck with a Robin Williams movie. I'm sorry. That movie was fucking perfection. That Robin Williams did the Popeye movie. You don't fuck with it. You don't. And if they're really making this Popeye, man, I don't know if I can watch that with Conor McGregor as Popeye. I'm just not sure I can. The trailer is going to feel the spinach running through me veins or some shit like that. And I'm like, what the fuck? But like I said, do not go into the new Roadhouse expecting the old Roadhouse at all. Chuck Liddell is Miss Doubtfire. Oh, shit. All right, I'm not lying. I'd fucking watch that. I'm watching fucking Chuck Liddell as Miss Doubtfire. You got me, Chief. You fucking got me. I'd watch the shit out of that. I would watch the hell out of that fucking movie. All right, I guess we can come up with some Robin Williams movies that could be remade by UFC guys. Let's see. What do we got? Birdcage. You'd have to remake the Birdcage. Who could we get as Robin Williams in the Birdcage? A UFC fighter. Oh, man. What, BJ Penn? Randy Couture as John Jones as Patch Adams. Oh, don't put... I've never seen that. Does that have anything to do with hospitals? Don't put him near drugs. Please. I've never seen Patch Adams. Oh, Jesus Christ. My God, Tito Ortiz in the toy. Tito Ortiz in the toy. I like that. Man, I'm blanking on Robin Williams movie. Oh, fuck it. Give me IMDb, goddammit. IMDb. What the fuck am I doing? Type in Robin Williams. Probably, yeah, exactly. You can't even type in Robin. Williams pulls right up. Man, I can't. It's been 10 years. It has been 10 years since Robin Williams passed. Wow. Unfucking believable. August 11th will be 10 years, so it's been just about 10 years. Wow. Let's see. 1 hour photo. Sean Strickland and Hook. That'd be good. See, if we're going with AEW guys, we could put... Sean Strickland. Wrong Strickland. Wrong one. Sean Strickland. I got you. In Hook. Okay. 1 hour photo. I don't know. Rousey and Good Will Hunting. Hey, look, she's done a few movies. She could. That wouldn't be the worst thing. 1 hour. Oh man, who would you put in the Robin Williams? I know it's more of an Al Pacino movie, but Robin Williams was in Insomnia. Fucking love that movie. That's a good one right there. My God, man. See, I haven't watched UFC in so long. All I can think of are all the older guys. like Rousey, Couture, all the guys you guys are thinking of. And man, they're few and far between now. Forrest Griffin in Insomnia. Yeah, that'd actually be a good one. I'll tell you, actually, the sad thing is Stephen Bonner would have been actually a good, the fucking American Psycho playing that, that would have been fucking pretty cool. That would have been something to see. But Forrest Griffin, he could pull that off. Definitely. Definitely could pull that shit off. Can't believe we're even fucking come up with some of these. Oh, boy. What else? Man, I haven't. What are some other ones? All right, we talked about the Burke Jumanji. Man, now I got a puppy crying in the background and everything. All kinds of shit. But anyway, I don't fucking know. But I don't know. But I've actually watched some good movies this week. I haven't watched any Robin Williams. I've watched a couple Statham and George St. Pierre in Jumanji. I like it. I like that. I like that. Yeah, I watched some Jason Statham movies. That's what I watched. And some Liam Neeson movies. I watched that new, not very new, it was from last year, In the Land of Saints and Sinners with Liam Neeson. That was a good movie. Very fucking good movie. Okay, you watched the Tomorrow War and Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Wow, never even heard of either one of those. Tomorrow, though, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes comes out, and I love that fucking series. That is a great franchise. Pay no attention to that Mark Wahlberg one. I don't mind it, but it had nothing to do with the other three that came out. So that is one. Let me see. You know what? I took some notes here on movies that I had watched. I watched a Jason Statham movie called Revolver. Holy fuck. What a psychological mind fuck this movie was. Where it started is actually where it ended. It was a great movie. If you've never seen the movie, I don't want to ruin it for you, but check it out. It is a Jason Statham movie. It is called Revolver. It's from, here, I'll tell you what year it's from, because you type in Revolver, you're going to get a few to IMDb search. 2005, it's Jason Statham and Ray Liotta. Mm-hmm. Talk about another late great. It's a Guy Ritchie movie. It's also got Andre 3000 in it. So it's Jason Statham, Ray Liotta, and Andre 3000, and Vincent Pastore, I think, from The Sopranos. Yeah, Vincent Pastore is in it too, from The Sopranos. So there's another one. Definitely a movie to check out. I swear to you, it is a good movie. Another badass Jason Statham movie, another psychological fucked up thriller, was one called Redemption or Hummingbird. It's got one of those movies that's also known as Hummingbird. Great fucking movie. And I'll tell you, I watched a movie the other night with, it's a military movie. I think it was from 2017. Give me a second. I'll double check. It was called The Wall, folks. Okay, it was. It was 2017. Now, there are not many people in this movie at all. I mean, there is probably, you could probably count on both hands how many people total are in this movie alive. There's many people playing dead bodies, but it's a military movie. It's got John Cena in it. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I'll tell you right now, he is not the star of this movie, but it is a great story. I'll give you a quick basis. Their snipers, they get pinned down by another sniper, and he is extremely, extremely clever. And it is a great movie. What's up, girl?
Oh,
night-night.
Love you.
I love you. So it was an excellent, excellent movie, The Wall. Definitely one I would recommend. And last night, I was in the mood for laughing a little bit. So Enemy at the Gates is another movie. I have that. I need to check that out. But like I said, for some reason, I've been watching shooter and sniper movies. And this one popped up. Again, I belong to this group called Film Retrospect. I've mentioned this before. They have given me so many movies to watch and collect and get that I'm probably never going to watch them all, but they have given me so many military movies. I believe last week I was talking about the movie Taking Chance with Kevin Bacon, where he basically follows a fallen Marine from you know, Iraq back home. Excellent movie, Taking Chance. Quick, not even an hour and a half movie. I think it was like an hour and 17 minutes. It was an HBO movie. Unbelievable movie, though. But last night I wanted to laugh, so I watched The Other Guys with Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg, Samuel L. Jackson, and The Rock, and Michael fucking Keaton also was in it. Funny movie. I had never seen it before. I'll pick something else and watch it tonight that I have never seen before. If I got time, I should have time. I'll probably be out of here in the next 15, 20 minutes. But did they make a movie about Charles Whitman? Because they, I don't know, but another movie that I've been wanting to watch, I'll tell you another movie I watched that I'm surprised didn't get more like awards and stuff, was that The Patriot, another Mark Wahlberg movie. I do like Mark Wahlberg, folks. I make fun of him, but I like the guy. He's, I don't think they did make a movie on that one, on the Texas University Tower shooter. I don't think they did. But The Patriot was a good one, all about the Boston Marathon bombings. Really, really good one. And, oh man, I've been watching just a lot of movies I haven't seen, and I keep forgetting to take notes on them, but one I do want to see is, speaking of the Boston bombing, Richard Jewell, who I believe they blamed that all on, and I want to check that movie out too, because I haven't seen that, and I heard that was very, very good. Man, y'all are making me want to go get my external hard drive, go through some of my movies that I've been going through. But I don't know, folks. It's there's a lot of movies, though, that I watch in a week. I just do. For some reason, I like sitting down watching a movie. I'll put on a lot of movies that I've seen a ton of times. The Olympic bombing. Thank you, Cheese. Not the marathon bombing. The Olympic bombing. I want to check that out. Richard Jewell, he's talking about. I want to check that out. But I have so many movies that I want to watch. So many that I want to check out. I even want to check out that new Bob Marley movie. That kind of documentary movie. I want to watch that. Dark Water Horizon with Mark Wahlberg. There you go. I haven't seen that one. But like I said, I've been watching for some reason a lot of military movies. But I'll put on movies I've seen 20, 30, 40 times. If I'm taking a nap, I see my go-to movie seems to be Captain Phillips with Tom Hanks. That is an excellent movie. The last 15 minutes of that movie are some of the best acting I've ever seen, in my opinion. So, Captain Phillips, I mean, I watched it today when I fucking took a 20-minute nap. So, yeah, that is another one I'll put on almost any time is Captain Phillips. But, all right. I guess I can get into a little bit of little bit of dynamite from last night. Thank you guys for the movie talk. I appreciate that. That was nice. So folks, we got the old Trent Beretta and Orange Cassidy match last night. They're in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Jericho pretended to fuck it up, but I think he fucked it up. Maybe he fucked it up on purpose. I don't know. I can't never tell with Jericho. But we had the Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta thing. Folks, I'm not saying this was a bad match. I'm not saying it was a bad match. I'm just saying I don't care. You give me Trent Beretta, I'm going to show you I don't care. That's what I'm saying. I just don't. I've never cared about Trent Beretta. I have no... I don't know. I just don't. I like Orange Cassidy. I definitely think he's entertaining, but I think Trent Beretta is a fucking bowl of water. Clear, plain water. That's it. He's got nothing to me. Someone explain to me Trent Beretta. I don't know what else to say. He's a fucking bowl of water. Not even a cup, a bowl. Even more fucking useless. But there was that match. And I'm sure everybody realized Taz was not there last night. I guess he's been having some knee issues and said that traveling was just not going to happen. His pathetic said he's flatter than a plate of piss. He's just there like his my own sad life. Billy Kidman 2.0. You know what? I actually enjoyed Billy Kidman. That's an insult to Billy Kidman. Don't insult Kidman like that. I actually liked a little bit of Billy Kidman. I had no problem with him. But I just... Trent Beretta is just blah. What is the character? What? There is none. He's just a dude with a name. Not even a good name. Trent Beretta. What is this? Fucking 1975? No. No, I just can't get into this, folks. Look, if you enjoy it, that's on you. Kidman didn't have much personality, but more than this fucking guy. This guy's just staring into space now, Trent fucking Beretta. Cops don't even use Berettas anymore, I don't think. Even they went to Glocks. Anyway, wasn't a bad match at all. But after Cassidy wins, you get Don Callis coming down to help because Trent Beretta kept beating down Orange Cassidy, which everyone knew he was going to fucking do. Don Callis came down and basically it was just kind of saved him right there. Wasn't bad, though. Wasn't bad at all. I didn't mind it. Like I said, I thought it was a good match. Great opening match. Orange Cassidy is thrown in that opening match for a reason. It fits him. It's a great way. He always puts on a good match no matter what he does. Unfortunately, he was going in the ring with a plate of piss or a bowl of water, whichever one you want to say. Unfortunate for him. Unfortunate for him. All right, we saw the elite guys pulling in the arena. Useless. I mean, this could have been a scene in Draft Day. Throwback. It's fucking useless. But then we had the little announcement by Kenny Omega, who was in his hospital bed. And I thought it was funny. You could literally see his heart rate in the background. At one point, it started going up a little bit. It started going up. Sorry, Chief. little. I had to do it. So you can see it go up a little bit, and I'm like, oh shit. It was pretty cool. But basically, Omega came in and was basically saying, I'm going to shorten this. I'm an EVP too, and I've got a bunch of guys that are going to come in against your guys, and you'll find out who those guys are later tonight. It's going to be anarchy in the arena, no rules, at Double or Nothing. So there you go. That we will find out later who that was, folks. Hope you can stand the tension until then. I think you'll be okay. I hope you'll be okay. I really do. All right. Let me move this out. Hold on, folks. Let me do something real quick here. All right. I'm not going to move the audio settings. That's what got me in the forgetting to hit record in the first place. So, and I'm an idiot. Don't forget that part. Don't ever forget that part. That I'm kind of an idiot. Anyway, so we had all that going down. And here, let's get back over here for me. Make this bigger. I got it. I can't see stuff that I used to be able to see, which is really starting to annoy me. But there we go. That was basically the whole thing there. And now he did tell us that the first two guys were FTR. So we knew it was FTR, at least. And then we had two more guys come out. One awesome, one. We'll talk about this, folks. Then we had a little interview with Tony Schiavone, interviewing the professor, Serena Deeb, who just keeps looking better and better. But, man, good promo. Good promo. She was definitely talking from the heart, talking about the Caesars. Her, I think she said three unprovoked Caesars she had last year, and just been trying to figure out what in the hell was causing those. And she never really said that they did find out what was causing those. So, you know, just really great. But I definitely think she is looking good. She's coming right back in. Looks like she's getting right back into the title picture. I mean, she knocked out Tony Storm last night, straight flat down. That was a good fall by Tony. That was a good fall by Tony Storm. I like that. Then we get Orange Cassidy back there. He's being checked by the staff. Rocky Romero walked in to check on him. And he's looking at him like, could you not have picked a better fucking time to do this, Orange Cassidy? And I'm like, yeah, you couldn't have fucking picked a better fucking time to do this, you fucking dork. No, I guess he couldn't have. So then we had Mariah May. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, they are going to find themselves a partner, Rocky Romero and Orange Cassidy, and go for a trios title shot. So we'll see. Mariah May versus Harley Cameron was next. Harley Cameron came down with Saraya. That woman is aging like fine wine. I'm sorry, but she is just, the older she gets, the prettier she gets. She's just looking great. Saraya was funny down there, and I guess there was a fan down there. I guess some fan, everyone's saying she flashed the camera on the opening. She did not. Some guy held her shirt to where it showed a sports bra. We saw more cleavage in this match than from her. But I guess she was yelling at Saraya. I didn't pick that up. I also wasn't watching with headphones on. So that might have been one of the issues. I just didn't hear it. But it wasn't that bad of a match. It really wasn't. I actually like this Mariah May thing. I think it might be time to go ahead and give her own gimmick. Or just have her start coming out with the Shirakawa girl, which is fine. They didn't kiss for you guys. They didn't kiss this time. Too many people probably complaining. too many.
Then we saw Pac backstage. Then we saw Pac backstage. That's what we saw. He was back there. I'm going to take a drink. And he's doing an interview. And Jay White comes up. After Pac is asked about Death Triangle, we get Jay White coming up, who says Death Triangle is D-E-A-D dead. And I'm sitting here going, it's kind of how it's been for you too, pal, around here. I hate to tell you. Scott Pathetic, Scott Rybread, appreciate you coming on by. Thanks a lot, man. Oh, you're already out of here. SBC, my main man, what's going on? Look at that. One down, one comes in. Look at that. One man down, one man back up. It's like dodgeball. Caught the ball. He caught the ball. I'm thinking that's kind of how Jay White's been in AEW. I mean, this guy was supposed to be the fucking switchblade. He was supposed to come in and make this fucking... He was coming in. He was going to change AEW. He was this. He was... he's having matches with Rocky Romero. Literally, we could have seen that in New Japan. I mean, come on. Come on. But it is what it is, I guess. This is where we had Swerve Strickland and Christian Cage. Awesome. 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 Swerve had a few little lines he fucked up. Yes, he did. It wasn't that bad. You know what? It's real. This is how a person would talk. This is how a person who says, he started off, I am in a foul mood. I'm in a fighting mood. He said that first sentence. You would be so mad, you would get flustered and you would mess up words. I'm sorry. It seems real when they cut promos like that. I did talk about Ric Flair already, SBC. First thing I talked about. And since I'm by myself, the show is rolling along a little faster than usual. He and Stuttering John have a lot of similarities. I don't know. Lately, it sounds like, I mean, listen, maybe you want to have Ric Flair managing Jack Swagger because they both kind of sound a little bit like that. Good God, you'd have to wear, it'd be like a fucking Gallagher concert with those two. You'd have to wear a fucking raincoat. Gallagher gets talked about more on this show than he probably ever gets talked about anywhere else, by the way. Jesus Christ. But yeah, I really thought it kind of made the promo real. He said he was pissed. He was in a fighting mood. He was upset. This is how you would, I mean, this is what would happen if you were upset not reading from a fucking script. But listen, I thought this was good. Christian saying all the stuff. Swerve had a few people come out and get his back. Which everyone thought, oh, that's great. That's really cool. You know, you got Brian Cage coming out and the other two guys who I forgot. Leona and Bishop, I forgot who they are. Mogul Embassy guys came out and they're behind Swerve. And Swerve says something pretty bad to Christian. Christian basically can't say anything. And then next thing you know, Brian Cage pounds Swerve and drops him. And all three guys start attacking him. So Christian had the guys in his pocket. We find out later, we go backstage. I'm just going to jump ahead a little bit. We find out later that it was the Young Bucks who had the idea. Christian actually said, thanked him for the great idea and said it was the beginning of a very fruitful working relationship. Then we had the Willow Nightingale backstage interview, which seems to be the same thing. But my God, she was showing more than cleavage. Good Lord. She was flat out showing titty. God damn it, it was titty there. I don't mind. I don't mind titty. But damn, there was some titty. That's all I'm saying. Then we had the Rocky Romero versus Jay White. It was for the Unified World. It wasn't for anything. It was just a match, and it was fine. But I didn't care again. Then you had Chris Jericho come out with Big Bill. It was Jericho and Big Bill against two locals, Mo Jabari and Harlan Abbott, who the crowd was super fucking behind, to be honest with you. The crowd loved both these guys. And this is where Jericho kind of came out and fucked up. He said, it was supposed to be Edmonton, and I think he said Calgary is what happened after the match. But it was funny. But the crowd started chanting, "You fucked up." And he's like, "I deserve that. I deserve that." But again, you never know if Jericho is joking or not. So that could have been done by design by old Jericho. And as he's doing this, we get Schiavone walks in and tells us Hook is coming back next week. And we'll see what happened. Now, we get to the main event, folks. This was the main event. Let's see. He's saying, Rick and Stuttering John. SJ threw a big party on Tuesday. Reunion. He got drunk in a serious case. Why can't I? Oh, Stuttering John. y'all taking me out. Okay. So we had this right here. This was the main event. This was the Cope Open, the TNT Championship, no DQ match. It was the Rated R Superstar versus Brody King. Now, this match ended up being fucking brutal. Brody was just bleeding all over the place, man. He was his face. He had the proverbial crimson mask going in this match. It was a pretty brutal match. There were went through tables and all that shit. And they gave this match a lot of fucking time, which I think they definitely should have. But it was a good match. I enjoyed it. And after the match, Cope won, of course. After the match, Brody kept beating him down. O'Reilly came out. Him and his new haircut came out and saved Adam Copeland. And then I think I'm just going to have to go ahead and say this. Then after that, we had this Mercedes Moné promo backstage again. And I could have skipped it this week. There was no reason to have her on again this week at all. I'm sorry. It's the same stuff over and over and over and over and over. Just get her in the ring. Get this feud over with and get her somewhere else. I know this feud has fucking history. I know that she took her out. I'm fine with the feud. But I just don't care for the promos anymore. You know what, SBC? Hold on to that real quick. That SBC incident. I did not yet. And I forgot to pull that up. Please keep that. He asks, has the bloom come off the rose with Sasha? I don't think so. But I think they should have at least given her some sort of match to something. Some sort of match. I just think that she's coming in, she's saying the same shit. If you're not going to give her a match, just don't have her on every week until she has a match. And this feud is over, and she can start a new feud. Because she's just saying the same blah, 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 while, you know, flashing her fingers around. That's all she's doing. And it's just getting old already. It's only been a few weeks, which is not good. But I don't know. I just feel that she probably should be
already in some sort of match. Maybe they should have done some quick feud with her, with someone, while she was getting Willow ready. What is Statlander fucking injured? Why isn't Sasha going after Statlander first? Going through? Why isn't Statlander going, you got to go through me first, bitch? What would be wrong with that? Anything? Nothing? So, I don't know. I could be wrong. I could be completely off base here, but I think maybe that's what should have happened. Maybe Statlander should be sitting there going, you should, you know, you go through me first. That would have at least given her a match. Maybe she's not. Oh, that's too well thought out. I know. I apologize. I apologize for that. Here, let me take a hit off my little pipe here, and then maybe I'll come up with a worse idea. Let's see. All right. No, that idea is about as bad as I can go. Yeah, let's just stick with that. Anyway, let's keep going back here, folks. So then we had Copeland and Kyle O'Reilly backstage with Lexi Nair. And it looks like they gave Renee a night off, to my sadness. And he's back there, and he thanks Kyle O'Reilly for coming to get him. And then Kyle O'Reilly's like, yeah, dude, you're no problem. So can I fight you for that TNT championship this Saturday? And Copeland's like, that's what this was all about? Kyle said nothing. Nothing. Blank fucking stare. Bowl of water, folks. Plate of piss. Bowl of water. Another one. I'm sorry. I never cared for this guy. Even in NXT, I didn't care for this guy. Even Cool Hand Kyle, I didn't give a shit about it. No. No thank you. No thank you. No thank you. 15 days since you smoked, dude. What's wrong with you? Stick in the mud now, Sasha Baron Cohen. Watch your language in my chat room, sir. Let's not get all vulgar in my chat room with the stick in the mud stuff, okay? Take it easy, pal. PG. PG. Fuck. All right, so then we had the EVPs. We had Matthew, Nicholas Jackson, Okada come down to the ring with Jack Perry. They had an important message. It really wasn't that important of a message. Honestly, basically this all led to who was going to be the other two facing the Elite with FTR. So they're there. Everyone's going back and forth. FTR comes out, and I do have to say I did like Cash Wheeler's shirt. It was a Chris Farley shirt. God, I can't remember the fucking saying. Well, Lottie freaking da. I think that was it. And it was Farley. I did like that shirt. That was fucking awesome. But we find out the first guy coming out to face the Elite, Anarchy in the Arena, is Eddie Kingston, folks. The Mad King himself, Eddie Kingston. Now, folks, I don't have any problem with Eddie Kingston. I really don't. But I really don't. I have been saying he's just not looking well lately. He's just not looking himself. But who am I to say? Let's see what happens. He's in a group here, so it's not as bad. But the fourth guy, Bryan Danielson's music hits, and the crowd loses their fucking mind. It was great. It was great, Bryan Danielson. They started walking down to the ring, all the guys. Next thing you know, there's a big brawl in the middle of the ring. AEW security gets them, pries them apart. And that was it, folks. Was a good show. I did enjoy it. I don't know if that needed to be the ending, the main event. I think they actually should have flipped that. Why couldn't we have actually had the Copeland match be the main event? But whatever. I guess they wanted to get that storyline poked through, which is fine. Which is fine. What did you send me here, SBC? Oh, God, who is that? Good Lord, what are you sending me pictures of here, sir? The hell is happening? Okay, now, before we go, SBC, Sasha Baron Corbin brought up something that I hadn't mentioned before, the Sky Blue incident. Now, I'm going to do this from memory. Someone was at the ROH event, Sky Blue was wrestling, and according to the person in attendance, Sky Blue, that was Stuttering John, wow. According to the person in attendance, there was a male out there in the audience who was being extremely rude to her, calling her baby girl. Oh, all right, you have the pics. We're not on YouTube, so it's up to you if you want to send the pics over. Calling her baby girl, screaming other things at her, just downright being rude to the point where after the match she was visibly upset. I also was also in there. I remember saying that they, Aubrey Edwards tried to have the guy removed, but he was fighting security, so I guess another security guard came down. I assume they finally got the guy out. I can only assume. Okay, here we go. You know what? Thank you. Thank you very much, SBC, Sasha Baron Corbin. Let's read it. Watched an awful thing happen involving Sky Blue tonight at the ROH taping. A man in the front row continued to make vulgar comments about Sky, commenting on her body, calling her baby girl, the whole shebang. The whole match wouldn't stop when people around him told him to shut the fuck up. He just got louder. Aubrey Edwards finishes reffing the match and screams for him to be kicked out to security. Both AEW security and arena security were involved. More people were called when he put up a fight. He had a child with him. Sky left the ring quickly and was very upset. Really awful thing to observe in 2024. This would be an awful thing to observe anytime, not just in 2024. You've got the right to hate, to not like a character, but we don't really know these people. We don't. And her body, let me tell you something. You want to mess with her body, her ass damn near broke the internet a couple times a couple months ago. All right, so that, they said that this was before Dynamite, but if Paige called them out, no, Paige called out, was that the, well, no, I don't know. I don't think that was the same person. I think this was a different couple that Paige is, that Saraya was fucking with. It's pretty shitty. But like I said, her ass damn near broke the internet a couple times a couple months ago. There's nothing wrong with her body. And first of all, she's a young girl. Like a very young girl. I mean, let me see here. How old is she? Like 23 or something like that? Sky Blue age. She is a whopping 24. She's 24 years old. Folks, she was born in 1999. Jesus Christ. I feel like an old son of a bitch right now. She's 24 fucking years old. You shouldn't have to deal with this shit. And you know, I don't understand why fans are even allowed to. Why was he allowed to do that the whole match? That's another question. That should have been stopped way before it went the whole match, unless it was a fucking 3-minute match and they just couldn't get to it. I get that. But it's just pretty shitty, man. Listen, there's shitty people out there. We know that. There's shitty people out there. There are always going to be shitty people out there. There ain't a damn thing we can do about it. But I don't know, man. It just seems weird that they were you know, able to do that the whole match and then started fighting security. Whew. And had a kid with him, which is even worse. Great to teach your kid. And if you were trying to show off in front of your kid, fuck you. And if you were drunk and trying to show off in front of your kid, fuck you again. I mean, yeah, I do drink, but and if I drink, I'm at home usually. Especially if I'm drinking with my kids here. I'm home. Home. But anyway, folks, I think I'm going to, on that note, go ahead and wrap this bad boy up. Let me go ahead and do this right here. That's right. We can kick a little bit of that tonight. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I appreciate everybody coming on in here. Smark, I hope everything's all right. If you're listening, I know you were having some bad storms out that way, man. Keep safe out there, because I know we had tornado warnings last night. And, you know, we're not too close, but we're not too far either. So I would assume he might be having some tornado. He said it got pretty nasty out there last night. And I was worried tonight because I got rain coming in tonight. So anyway, folks, I appreciate you guys coming on in. I appreciate anyone listening to this. And I will be back here next week with Smark, more than likely, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. We will be back on YouTube and right here on Mixler. Wrestlingoutlet.mixler.com. Sorry, folks. And be back right here. So once again, thank you and see ya.
Take your truck and ass home. It's all right. If you don't know what to do with yourself, take your truck and ass home. Oh, oh. Yeah.